Good evening and welcome to this Hot Tag Podcast. Parent Space with me always is Carrie Angie. Good evening, Carrie. How are you?
Good, we're ready to roll.
Yes. Now, before the show, we discussed MJF and Austin Theory, and I made the thought that I would rather have Theory than MJF for three simple reasons. One, Theory is a better wrestler. Two, Theory, when he cuts promos, doesn't have to scream. MJF has turned to a screamer. And three, Theory is believable, where MJF is about 5'7", 5'8", and has to wear tall shoes. And people see him as the future of the business. I don't see it as far as, like, is he believable as a wrestler? What are your thoughts?
I mean his ta I've the I mean to be honest, I feel like we've seen Austin Theory wrestle a lot more than we've seen MJF wrestle. I think he's Austin Theory's gotten a lot more actual in-ring time than MJF has. Do I think he's believable? Yeah, I think he's believable. I think he's got a yeah he might he's a little on the smaller side. But I mean, he's got the physique. He's got, I think there are a lot of positives about both of them. And, I think a lot of people were worried that, oh, here goes Triple H. He's going to completely bury, Vince's little project. And it turned out that, I mean, having him lose the money in the bank was probably the best move they could have made. I mean, I think and people need to remember who we're dealing with here. Triple H has been trying to do the long-term storytelling. I mean, you can't, I mean, the MJF's long-term storytelling hasn't even really been his fault. MJF's long-term storytelling has been because Tony Khan's a terrible booker. I feel like that MJF, because I mean, I certainly feel like he's going to get the belt at Full Gear. And I really feel like it's a year and a half too late. I kind of feel like just the whole, I don't know the whole him versus Tony Khan, whether it was a work, whether it wasn't. I don't think it did him any favors.
I agree. When I look at MJF, I look at waste of potential. He spent a year with Chris Jericho and being like kind of obscured. On the night where he wins the poker chip, it's when they had to fight backstage. He is kind of star-crossed where things don't seem to go his way. Theory, Vince pushed him early, way too fast. Triple H kind of sat there and said, "You know what? We're going to take a time." And now that he lost the briefcase, this is more of a character-defining moment where he attacks both people and he attacks Seth Rollins twice. So, does it make him a heel or a face?
I really don't know. I think he's pissed off, clearly. I mean, just being pissed off doesn't really make you a heel. I think he's the emotion that he's riding on right now is I really like it. I kind of feel like the anger that Austin Theory has is a lot of the anger that MJF has, but it's like for me, Theory's is almost more believable. Because you keep having MJF, like I don't, I they're kind of they don't. I don't think they know what direction to go with him. I mean, we want. I feel like everybody wanted him to be the champ when he was like the meanest heel he could be, and then they've tried this like almost like a little face turn with him, and it's weird. I want to see what MJF is gonna do as champion. But at this point right now, I feel like I'm more interested in what they're doing with Austin Theory. And honestly, I didn't think that was going to happen. I didn't think I could be interested in him because the way he was being pushed by Vince and it almost felt like Roman Reigns all over again, that he was trying to, he was trying to put the push this guy in our faces and we didn't want it. But I mean, now, to be honest, the match with Ziggler, I thought was great. Like I said, he's pissed off, and I kind of, the goofy. I like the getting rid of the selfie phone. I really like that they've dropped some of the goofy stuff he was doing, and they're being serious with it. I really like that he's tired, and he said it himself. He said he's tired of being a protege or the youngest, or and to send him in a serious way is the best way to go with this. So for me right now, I feel like Austin Theory's star is shining just a little brighter than MJF's.
When I look at Austin Theory, I think of John Cena. Similar builds, similar stories, where John, apparently a long time ago, Vince McMahon had this talk in the locker room about somebody stepping forward and trying to grab the brass ring. Cena actually stepped forward and did it. I see similarities with him in Theory. They look similar. They can wrestle some. They even have that same way of delivering their promos. And I think that if this is Austin Theory's future, is probably being the next John Cena.
And I mean, I don't really have a problem with that. I mean, somebody's got to do it. I mean, John Cena was one was I would say, the one of the he's a Hulk Hogan. He's I do I think he's the greatest in-ring performer of all time? No, but the dude had a gimmick. He had charisma. He had all the stuff. Like I said, was he the greatest in-ring performer? Absolutely not. And he'll probably tell you himself he wasn't. But I mean, wrestling has those guys. And I think wrestling always needs one of those guys. One of those over to everybody, one of those guys you can count on to put on a main event show every time he comes out. I don't really have a problem if that's the direction that they want to take Theory. I'm happy about that.
Now we need to discuss Saraya, whatever. They should never give her a live microphone because how does someone who claims they're a good talker so bad at words?
I think what they're doing with her is real sloppy. I think Tony Khan is really, he's really grasping at straws right now, and he's really trying to put anybody on this show that'll up the ratings. I don't think he cares who it is. I wasn't watching wrestling when she had her WWE run. I've seen her matches, and to be honest, she's kind of mid to me. I've seen women that are better. I've seen women that are worse. She's somewhere in the middle. I really think she's trying to maybe feel out what she can do here. But I mean, putting her in a feud with Britt Baker, it's Britt Baker's played out to me. She's boring. She hasn't done anything different since day one. And that's something I think needs to be discussed a little bit more. You want to grow your character, and Britt Baker has not grown her character at all. She hasn't changed. She hasn't developed. She's the same person she was 3 years ago. I don't know if putting her with Britt Baker was the right move. I think honestly that there are people out there that don't like AEW, and I don't think this does anything for it. It's a WWE, a WWE cast off against someone who was not a great champion. I really, honestly, Britt's another mid wrestler for me. She's not, she, I don't find that she has any redeeming qualities for me. I'm bored watching her.
It's
I,
weird.
like I said, I don't know if this was the right move. I mean, but how many of Tony Khan's moves can we say have been right? Not too many.
When you look at Britt Baker and you look at how she's not progressed, and you look at the fact that she's Tony Khan's favorite, she pretty much is this generation's version of Shawn Michaels and Vince McMahon, where she's allowed to do whatever and say whatever, and she'll never get in trouble. Like, that's her thing. Like, she can say, and she's out here slandering Thunder Rosa, and Rosa hasn't said anything. She's actually kept it quiet. And when I look at how she treated Rosa, if I'm Thunder Rosa, I don't come back.
No, I think it's nauseating what they did. Rosa was and is still one of my favorite female wrestlers that I've seen in the last 5 or 6, 7 years. She's very talented, but again, this is just what happens when Tony Khan is allowed to book people with talent. He drives them into the ground, literally. He drives them into the ground with horrible gimmicks, horrible angles. He's the lack of discipline in AEW allows these people to get hurt. You know, it's just you want to look at that. They did some really horrible, stupid things with her. You know, they just did the timing of stuff just wasn't right. Just a lot of things were just not cool. And like again, it goes to the fact that what you said, that he's Tony's favorite, she's Tony's favorite, and it's like it's ridiculous. And when there are people that are 5 times as talented as Britt Baker and they're not being pushed, it's disgusting.
Now, when we come back from break, I want to go over the full gear card for predictions. You are listening to the Hot Tag Podcast on the FBC Radio Network. We are back with the Hot Tag Podcast. Am Terrence Biggs. With me is Kerry. The full gear card, we will go. There are 9 current matches. So let's discuss Luchasaurus versus Jungle Jack Perry in a steel cage match. How many pay-per-views start with a steel cage match?
None. Like it, God, that does it doesn't just doesn't make any sense. I haven't been in this whole feud with Christian, and it's been good if it could have been just the two of them. But Luchasaurus continuously being put in the middle of this, and it's weird. Christian not wrestling, and it's just all weird. I thought we were beyond the thing with them. I thought it was over, but it's Tony Khan. He's going to milk something for all he can milk it. To be honest, I just want it to be over.
I thought that when AEW started, they had a chance to make Jungle Boy or Jungle Jack the next face in peril, really super over face, the Ricky Morton of this generation. They have managed to botch it by pairing him with Luchasaurus, where he should have been a Luchasaurus should have been a heel to start with. You're that big, you're that athletic. You'd be a heel. No one, you know, it's too much. The next match, you have Sting and Darby Allin versus, I never thought I'd say this in 2022, Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett. Why?
To have those four names up somewhere. I mean, it's an absolute joke. I have absolutely never been a Jeff Jarrett fan, not for 1 second. I appreciate his the way his, the business side of wrestling for him. He seems like, you know, he was doing the TNA thing, all that stuff. But I mean, he's got a lot of knowledge. He's been around this business a very long time. He's another guy like an Arn Anderson, like another one of those guys that, you know, AEW could, if they use them the right way, could get a lot out of him, but they're not going to. And it tells me that putting him this match tells me that they're not going to do him, like do him, give him his dues. They're just not going to do it. This match, it's another, this is another, just let it be, oh, please God, let it be over match, because this is ridiculous. It just, why? I could see Darby and Jay going at it again. That would be okay. But why? Why do we need to see Sting in a wrestling ring in 2022? I could seeing Jeff Jarrett in a wrestling ring makes more sense than seeing Sting in a wrestling ring. But it doesn't, that doesn't even really make sense.
I agree. I think that Sting and Darby win it. Next, we have Dr. Britt Baker versus Saraya. Now, before we get into this match, Saraya literally last week on Dynamite had her clearance notice. It literally said that she was cleared to wrestle. She doxed her doctor, and it was the weirdest looking form. Why would you just, it's so bad. Do we care? And do we, you know that Britt Baker is probably going to do the job here.
She has to. I mean, and again, being Tony's favorite means that you suffer his whims. And if he decides, he's going to worry, you're going to do the job, you're going to do the job. It's he throws in these names, and it's just for the attention. It's not for any substance. It's not for anything that's going to mean anything. It's just for him to for the ratings. That means more to him than anything. And I mean, you can't. I really don't see how they're never going to be able to compete with WWE ratings ever. So for Tony Khan to be that obsessed with the ratings is just odd to me. It just, if he really, if he could take a couple of steps back and really assess and let somebody assess the quality of this programming, like rating should be the last thing in your mind, dude. You should, at this point, you need to worry about the quality of these matches. And 9 times out of 10, these matches are not good. They're just not good.
Speaking of not good.
And here we have, we just have another, we this is just another, we don't care, please God, let it be over match. I just, it's sad.
Speaking of that, we have Jade Cargill versus Nyla Rose for the AEW TBS Championship. I don't care. Like, they have ruined Nyla Rose from the beginning, where she should have been a monster heel. Jade Cargill hasn't progressed. She's still saying the same line. She hasn't gotten any better in the ring. It's just,
But
this should be the.
as far as Jade having a believable adversary, this is the closest they've gotten to having somebody that as devastating as, 'cause I mean, I'm going to put it this way. I'm not a huge Nyla Rose fan. She's got some talent. There are some things that she can absolutely do. And I kind of, this is the closest that they've had Jade being on somewhat of an equal footing with someone, that it's not her having a jobber thrown at her. This is going somewhere. I'd love to see it go somewhere else. I mean, I could see her and Nyla feuding for quite some time. Maybe until Thunder Rosa comes back or something like that. I could definitely see this going somewhere. This is actually the first match that I would even remotely give a crap about, because it could be really good.
It could be, but then you know that there'll be outside interference and stupid stuff will happen. And it, speaking of stupid stuff, you have Chris Jericho versus Bryan Danielson versus Claudio Castagnoli versus Sammy Guevara for the ROH World Championship. Jericho wins because this is what Jericho does. Now that he has more influence, he miles backstage because the narrative has been painted that Chris Jericho has been some great beacon of light and insight. He's not losing this. And Bryan Danielson, once again, will job.
Why? It makes no sense. Well, I think one of the wrestlers that has been done just absolutely so wrong is Bryan Danielson. It just he's better than his treatment. And I would definitely say that Claudio is better than his treatment. And just why? It doesn't make any sense. I wish, at this point for me, Chris Jericho is the Tom Brady of wrestling. He refuses to go away. Just I'm ready for him to just go away. There was a point in my wrestling admiration that I liked him. That time has well passed, and it's time to just let him. He needs to go. He needs to go do his little podcast, go hang out with his insurrectionist wife, whatever. Just I'm tired of seeing him on my TVs every Wednesday. It's gotta go.
The next one we have Toni Storm versus Jamie Hayter for the AEW interim women's title. This is where Jamie Hayter wins the world title.
It
This
should
should
be.
be. It should be. And this is where, is it me or I don't like Toni Storm for the simple fact that if you listen to her promos, if you listen to her interviews, she's the one who claimed that she was homeless after leaving WWE. What she didn't mention to tell you is that she was staying on her friend's couch while she was moving. So she wasn't homeless.
We thought initially that Toni Storm coming in was going to be a good thing, but again, it's Toni Khan. That's all I need to say.
This.
Jamie Hayter is actually one of the few women on this roster that has something that is believable, that is passionate, that every time I see her in the ring, I want to see more of her. The sooner she gets away from Britt Baker, the better her career is going to be. I would love to see her just by herself, just doing her own thing, to continue to be a badass heel. I'm loving that, but just get her away from Britt. Like I said, I really think she's very talented. And I feel like Britt's just a rock around her neck holding her down. I'm definitely, if they don't put the belt on her, I would say that's a huge mistake.
I agree. Next one is the AEW World Championship Title Eliminator Final. Ethan Page or Bandido versus either Ricky Starks or Lance Archer. It's pretty much who's going to get beat by MJF in his first title defense.
Yeah.
Because. Go ahead.
They've got to have somebody that can build up a feud with MJF. I mean, that just has to happen. I want to lean towards Ricky Starks because he's that good guy we're all rooting for. Like that promo he had, was it last week or was it on Rampage? Was actually really good. I've liked him since the first time I saw him in NWA, and I would say that was pre-COVID. That was like 2019, maybe. I've been a fan of his ever since. I think he's very incredibly talented. He's a very smart wrestler. He's got the look, he's got the charisma, he's got everything that it takes to be a champ. And I mean, I could definitely see him and MJF doing some verbal sparring with each other for sure. So yeah.
I don't want Ethan Page or Lance
No.
Archer because I think that Ricky Starks winning this and meaning he'll have to job eventually. They need the
Yeah.
big they need to build him up to be like some sort of like TNT champion first and then build him that way
Yeah.
because somewhere along the line he should be the world champion. Now, the next match we have the Acclaimed versus Swerve in Our Glory. Think this is where Swerve Strickland turns on Keith Lee. Thoughts?
It has to be. It's been coming. Or the other way. The other way. It could be Keith turning on Swerve. The Acclaimed are one of the biggest things going in wrestling right now. They're one of the biggest. They're one of AEW's biggest draws. I'd like to see the belts on them for an extended period of time. I really would like to see them feuding with someone else other than these two. There are a few tag teams I could think of that could put up a good fight. I mean, eventually what we want to see is the Acclaim versus FTR. That's what we need to see. I don't even think you really need to do a heel face type deal with those two. It's who's the best tag team, period. Who's the best tag team in wrestling, and people will watch. When it does happen, I will definitely make sure that I'm watching. Because that's going to be a fantastic match.
Now we have the main event. Jon Moxley will do the job to MJF. Do you think it'll be clean? And do you think that Stokely Carmichael will interfere?
I think for MJ, it all depends on what they really want to do with MJF. If they really want to take it serious, if they really want to, I don't want to see MJF as the chicken shit heel. I don't want to see that anymore. I want to see him as the legit bad heel. I don't want to see him do the chicken stuff anymore. I wanted to see him actually just do it. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, of course, the heel's always going to have the little tricks and the little, but I really feel like MJF can pull it off. He has the promo chops. He doesn't need anybody with him. He can do it all himself. I don't think he needs help. He doesn't need a manager. He doesn't need a mouthpiece. He's his own mouthpiece. I don't want to see, for to be quite honest, I don't want to see Jon Moxley on a TV for a while. I think he needs to, this is what he was brought back to do, was to give MJF the belt. I think after he does that, he can go take a little vacation.
Exactly. Now, you mentioned NWA earlier. Apparently, Nick Aldis is no longer the member of the National Wrestling Alliance, and people are saying that he should go to WWE or AEW. Nick Aldis is one, bland, and two, how does he, in his mind, disrespect the one promoter that kept him the world champion for 3 consecutive years? And he has a higher opinion of himself than most people have from outside the ring because he's kind of bland. Am I wrong?
I kind of feel like he falls into that kind of old school wrestler kind of vibe. I don't think he's, I wouldn't say he's bland. I just don't think he hasn't really been in this in any type of spotlight being in NWA. I mean, the NWA doesn't have, didn't have really have a TV deal. They really didn't have, like I said, pre-pandemic, it seemed kind of seemed like they were onto something. And then they lost Ricky Starks. They lost Thunder Rosa. They lost several people that just kind of made it kind of boring. I think done the right way, I think Nick Aldis, he's decent in the ring. He's got a li he has some personality. And I think maybe booked correctly, it could be something. As far as Billy Corgan goes, I think Billy Corgan has his own head pretty far up his own butt. I really think he thinks what he has is hotter than it is. And to put Pyrus as your champion, dude, seriously, you have Matt Cardona that could be your champion, which I would like honestly like better. I don't understand it. He at the beginning, Billy Corgan had something there, but I really think he's gotten himself on the wrong side of some politics and some other things, and I just don't I'm not a fan.
Pyrus, the former Brodus Clay, is his now the IndyWay World Heavyweight Champion. It's like, let's see how to say it. It's Ric Flair, it's Harley Race, it's Pyrus.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, we're gonna go ahead and say that and laugh at that, but step out of it. This has been another fun episode of the Hot Tag Podcast.